much. And good morning. My name is Heishimu. My last name is Kolar. And I'm actually from the U.S. I have told my people that I look as if I am Nigerian.
Yes.
I'll take that as a compliment. If you open, please, into the book of Proverbs in chapter number 30. The pastor, Pastor Sam, has invited me to come preach. I want to say thank you for that opportunity to address the congregation here. What? And the subject that I was assigned is the unfailing word. The unfailing word. That word is the Son. The Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the scriptures that you have in your lap here. And it produces contentment. This is something that is extremely rare here in Nigeria and all over this world. It's a contented people. It is easy to be lustful after things of this world. But the Bible says that godliness with contentment is a great gain. And so let's start our reading in Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 1. And we'll work down to verse 9 in this message. But verse number 1, it is the words of Agar, the son of Jacob. So it isn't actually Solomon. It is the oracle, it is the oration of the man to Ithiel and Ukal. I'm reading out of an American translation of the whole thing. Look what he says in verse 2. Let's to introduce us unto the subject and to open up our minds. I am more stupid than any other man. Can you say this about yourself? And I lack man's ability to understand. This is truly a wise man. He's not Solomon, who was the wisest mere mortal to ever live, but his words are recorded in the book of wisdom, the greatest wisdom in all of the world, and he is inscribed in scripture. And the way that he got his place, and I want you to hear me, is to recognize how ignorant, how sinful, how deceitful, how utterly wicked is the human heart. And we have to be taught by that. What the scripture says is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the way to overcome my sin is to admit I have it. I have a sin problem. The way to overcome my ignorance, I see the college students here. It's a long time ago, I went to college too. Didn't teach me nothing about God. That comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes through His Word. It comes to a person that is ignorant enough to understand that God must do the teaching, and I know nothing. Left unto myself, I will never figure out God. It takes special revelation. Is the Lord Jesus, as he told Peter, after Peter confessed him, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Lord Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father that is in heaven. So I have to be ignorant to understand. Does that humble your pride? Does it make you angry? That's the natural response of sinners. Don't tell me that. I know everything. Oh, I'm an American. Oh, I went to university. I scored high on my IQ test. But it's the sinner that is forgiven. And it's the sinner that is taught. Because the scripture says in Psalm 25 that good and upright is who? Is the Lord. And therefore, he will teach sinners in the way. He tells you to come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, he says, and you learn of me. If you learn everything brand new, so when you come to hear this message, hear everything brand new. Hear with fresh ears. Hear as an ignorant person that has to be taught by God. Let's keep going. And that's what made him so wise. Verse number 3. I have not gained wisdom. I have no knowledge of the Holy One. I am ignorant by nature. I am a beast. I'm born in sin. I'm unworthy to even to know God. Is a privilege I'm not worthy of. I can be cast out and left unto myself. Who has gone? As he begins to scratch around to find knowledge. And he's going to bring us into knowledge. Who has gone up to heaven? This is what he's talking about. And come down. These spiritual things, these great things of God, these eternal things, these blessings that are of the covenant of grace. Or who has gathered the wind in his hands? God. Who has bound up the waters into a cloak? The Almighty God. Who has established? Who's got all power of all the ends of the earth? What is his name? This is what he wants to find out about. And what is the name of his son? You see how this ignorant man is so wise to speak so clearly of the only begotten Son of God? He is the infinite and the eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't mind me. He is the one that God the Father raised from the dead. After he did everything the Father sent him to do. Because a long time ago, from before God had ever made this world, He already had a plan of saving his people, whom he calls his sheep, taken out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Tongue means language that somebody speaks on earth that people understand. That's what happened at Pentecost. They spoke in languages known to man. If I could speak Swahili, my first name is Swahili, but I only know my name, and Hakuna Matata off the Lion King. If I could speak Zulu, that's my middle name, Kulule Kile. It means set free. But I don't know anything else. But long ago, before God made this world, he knew exactly who he would bring unto himself. He called those the chosen people. He said, mine, elect. He talks about it in Isaiah. I think in chapter 43 also. He chose us from the foundation of the world, and then he sent his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal co-equal with God the Father. He was not begotten in eternity. He reigned in eternity. He ruled in eternity as God. But he was begotten at a day and time about 2,000 years ago. Or 2,100 years ago. And he became a little baby and a man. And he became obedient, the scripture says in Philippians 2, unto death. Even the death of the cross, because he wanted to. Nobody obligated him. He said to the Father, I will go and redeem those people that you gave me unto your everlasting glory. Let's turn there, just briefly, into Philippians chapter 2. And after Philippians, I'm going to take you into Colossians 1. But you want to keep your finger there in the book of Proverbs. It's our text, and I'll be going back unto it. But the thing that I've been saying, you start at verse 6, it speaks of Christ, and it says that who being, who existing, in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage or grasped or held onto. It was not robbery. I'll just preach off this. Verse number 7. And so all the way up to verse number 9. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Did you see how he did this himself? And he was made in the likeness of men, just like me and you. And being found in the fashion as a man, as an actual man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's why God our Father has had his own. Who is he? His son. Who is this God? And who is his son? Oh, listen to me carefully, Lord. He's our Redeemer. He is the substitute of my darling sister for our sin. He's the sacrifice. He's the scapegoat that you and I can escape from the sin and the wrath of God. He's where the punishment of God came upon the sins of his people. His wrath. He's where the wrath of God is satisfied. And he, the Almighty God, is appeased with the sin of the sinner because of Jesus Christ only. Huh? In Colossians, please, chapter number 1. I hope that this gets good to you and me. In Colossians 1, verse number 14, please. We have redemption through his blood. Comma. The forgiveness of sins. In this translation, if you add it in the word, it's even, isn't it? That's A-OK. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, as the word is telling us, is when Christ actually died to pay for our sin, the debt was gone forever. There is no possibility of God ever punishing the same sins twice. He will never make us pay twice. If you young students, as to what's on your mind all the time up until it gets done, it's your school fees. That's a big deal. That's big money. Big dollars, as we say back home. But when the school fee is paid, and you parents, after you've paid, after you sacrificed, after you labored, after you prayed, and you found the money, once you pay that debt which you owed for the school fees, if they came back to you at any time and said, pay more, pay one more. Pay one more dime. Do something else on top of this. How would that sit with you? It would be unfair. The wrath of God is satisfied through Jesus Christ. Totally unfair if he punishes anybody who trusts him. Look to him alone. Stop looking to yourself and look to Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood. Father, our sins are gone. They are washed in the blood of Christ. There's nothing left to do. God has paid his own price in his darling son. What's left for me and you to do, to believe and to receive and to rejoice all the days of our life. I'm one with God. I'm back with him in good relationship because of Jesus Christ. That's what makes a man into a missionary. He's thankful. He's happy on the inside. He has tasted his mercy and his love. Been reconciled back to God through who? Jesus Christ. Is there one more dime that you owe? Is there one more naira that you must pay? Is there one more deed that you must do? Let me ask you a hard question. You answered right so far. Does your faith make God forgive you? Or does your faith, hide God and sister, make me and you receive the forgiveness He accomplished at the cross? That's it. Faith has nothing to Jesus Christ. It has nothing to God. Not at all. It's trusting in Him and what He's already done and accomplished outside of me and you. It did not depend on us. It was Christ who died. Nobody else was at the cross. Nobody else paid for sin but God's dear Son. That's it. And when He did that and reconciled us to God, He bought all the blessings Himself with His precious blood. What price greater can He give but God's dear Son who died? That is sufficient. Am I telling you the truth or am I lying?
So help me God, I'm telling you the truth. So help my eternal soul. I swear by my soul, I'm telling you the truth of God. That's no light matter now. Let's go back into Proverbs. Did you get it? Who's His Son? He's our Redeemer. He is the one I'm trusting. Hallelujah. Praise God. And praise His holy name.
Verse number 5. Back to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30. This is a tough verse. It's a tough point to understand. But I'm going to try to make it clear. This is point 2. Point 1 is that the unfailing Word is the Son of God. He is the message of all the Scriptures. As our brother Agar is already telling us, who's His Son? But verse number 5 and 6 is point 2, is that the unfailing Word is only the Scriptures. It is not what me and you say. Oh, what happens if I promise you that you shall die? Nothing. Almighty God couldn't care less what came out of my mouth. He's not ruled by what comes out of our mouth. What kind of God is that? In the U.S., our own children don't obey, and we rule God? What foolishness. The Almighty God is bound by what comes out of His mouth, and it's His written Word. So it says here, every word of God, not the word of man. Oh, you're going to be rich. You can die tomorrow. You shall not get sick. Why do they die in Nigeria at age 53? One of the lowest death rates in the world is Nigeria. With the most false prophets prophesying, it shall not happen unto you. I was at the hospital. This was this last week. And there's a woman there, an older woman. And she is dying of hypertension. And so she needed blood because her blood is killing her. It's bad blood. And so she's got 6 pints of blood. But I'm so encouraged that she's at the hospital And as I'm talking to her, I'm telling her that to live is Christ. Do you believe that? Don't tell me I'm not going to die then. Because I don't fear death. To die is gain. I didn't come to Africa because I'm scared to die, bro. I came to give the gospel to a needy people. He's been out of my life. And when that old woman in her hospital bed is hearing about Christ, and she enters in to die is gain. Yes, we pray for her body, and we get her medication, but to die is gain. That's the Christian hope. Not you shall not die. I don't know what God has planned. He controls the wind in the palm of his hand. What did Job? Did he decree something? Or did he just suffer until God made it go away? And God didn't make it stop until Job said, I sinned in my murmuring at you. Whatever you do is good. Be in control, God. Peter did not have control, God. Paul did not have control, God, in prison. Just imagine if you could come into Paul's prison cell and he's fixing to give up his head for the gospel with some utterance of, it shall be well with you all. It shall not happen unto you all. The only way you can say that is if God said it. And if he said it, it will never fail. And so every false prophet that is promising you and me things that never happen is a lie against God himself. Because God's word is unfettered. He just put the scriptures up, please. Just keep the text. Every word of God is pure. It is unfailing, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in. Only those who trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. For he's an enemy out to get you. He'll hunt you down, and he'll kill you, and he'll slay you in hell. But in Christ Jesus is refuge. What's the next verse? You better not add unto his words. Add thou not. You better not add unto his words. You better never, ever say anything is the word of God unless it is. I decree nothing but what God says shall come to pass. And I can't fail like that. I don't know the secret mysteries of the kingdom of tomorrow. Today is your day of salvation. Today, if you, he never promises you tomorrow. He says, today come to Christ. Lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Straight up liar. Please open to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 23, please. Look at Jeremiah, chapter 23, and verse number 32. This is something very important, and you can read this whole chapter on your own. And it will help you and me to understand that that actually God's word is special. It does not fail. It it cannot fail. Everything that's gone out of his mouth shall not return again void. And back to my illustration, I was in a Saba. This was in November, I think. And with another old woman, who now that I think about it, was suffering from hypertension. I've been aware as to what they look like if they can't catch enough oxygen in their breath. And they have no strength to move. Their heart is overworking. And she's panting. She's going to die. And you know what all of the false prophets were doing to her? Oh, but shall not happen unto you, O Mom. Oh, you served in the church all these years. He won't let you die. I declare and I decree you healthy. You are not sick, O Mom. And as I watch her pant to breathe, I stand up and say, who's taking her to the hospital? Who took her to see the doctor? Because she would have surely died if they left her in that condition with nothing but prayer. Prayer, apart from medicine, is unbelief. If I pray to preach and don't study my Bible, it's unbelief. If I pray to get money and I don't work, it's unbelief. You understand what I'm saying? So pray unto God and bring Ma to the hospital and find out what's wrong and help her. But do not ever decree that she shall be well. You don't even know if you will be alive in the morning. You control nothing. I control nothing. I'm subject to God. Aren't you? Anybody can speak different. You can come up here and control something and take your shot at it. Make me fall down. Do something, God says. Prophesy the future. Just make sure it happens. And then we'll tremble in front of you. Otherwise, it's just talk. It's just trash. And that's what he says here. Is behold, this is our God talking. I am against them that prophesy false dreams. What is a false dream? It came from man and not from God. It came from me and you on our own bed, and it's usually used to collect money. Blessing for you, but money is for me. You gotta pay me, if you're gonna be blessed by God. I was happy to hear, and the cassette tapes are free. God's word. Everything is free. Christ has died. That's the payment of every message. But people that because they want to be so popular, and the best way to be popular is to say, oh, you're so blessed. Oh, you're going to be rich, too. Oh, you will marry so well. Oh, you're just wonderful. And people will say, I will thank you for that. The gospel,
this don't fail. All that stuff is so iffy. It's just positive thinking.
I'm against them that prophesy false dreams to advantage themselves, says the Lord, as it counts, and they do tell them, and they cause my people, here's what's so tragic about it. Here's what often brings us under tears, is they cause my people to err by their lies. They, pastor, put in a false confidence and a false hope and in a false dream. And I really think it is the saddest thing of that world. I have cried. So many hours of tears. And I thought about you, my people, being led astray by the false hope. And there's this poor woman who's sick, who's told that she shall not die. It shall not happen unto her. And then when it does, it's the same pastor, it's the same false prophet stands up and says, it was God's will. That's what he should have said from the beginning. It's God's will, Mom, if you never die. Let's make our request home unto God. Let's be honest with people. Let's cast our care upon him. He cares for us. And either way, he's wise and he knows what's best. Let's look to the spiritual kingdom that's not of this world. That is real. It cannot fail. No one will trust Christ and be left hanging. That hope, it will never fall down. But everybody that listens unto these lying prophets, they err by their lies and by their likeness, their disregard of God, their refusal to fear God. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. It's not the word of God. Therefore, they shall not profit those people at all. What does that mean? Everybody that puts their hope in a lying prophet has put their hope in the opposite of God. And it doesn't help them at all. But you say, pastor, it's just positive thinking. It's just positive speech. As I was in a camp preaching, and the pastor there is a Jew, an actual thief, and a false prophet, quite obvious. The prophets in Nigeria are unashamed after your money. They are just straight into your face. That's why, is Nigerians are outgoing people, and I like straightforward people. But these prophets here, just pass the bucket until your head is in a dizzy and your pockets are on empty. Pick you up by the ankles and shake out every naira, scoop it to themselves and say, God bless you. But this woman in Ekin, she told me this. Even though my pastor lies, and all these promises he tells me every year, it's every crossover, it's every new month, it's every Sunday, it's your day, it's your month, it's your year. Even though he lies, I'm poor, she said, and I need hope. But the word that God says is, that's not hopeful. That's a delusion. It's not profiting you at all. Because you could be putting your hope in the truth of God. And you could take that energy that's in the all-night prayer meeting until you cannot actually function at work in school that next day and use that energy studying and planning your business. And made more naira that way. because the false prophets are not working out, are they? Is that helping you? In Northern Europe, they are atheists, but they go to work, and they organize, and they invest, and develop, and they got big money. Here in Nigeria, if we pay the false prophet, he promises us blessing, and the naira deteriorates in value. That's God's money. Because his word cannot fail. If I ever promise you anything in the name of God and it does not happen, I am a false prophet. And according unto Deuteronomy chapter 13 and 18, I'm to be killed. I'm not to be listened to unless I'm standing on that book. Every word of God is pure.
It's true, man. It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
I'm a truth teller by the grace of God. I've been stripped, I'm being stripped. But God's word stands. And you can stand on that with both feet and never fail. It'll never fail you. Its hope is so, it's so sure. His forgiveness is so pure. Its power is so on the inside that you can live for Jesus Christ through thick and thin. That's how the apostle did it. That's how the early church did it. Paul didn't promise anybody money. He said, you'll suffer to enter into the kingdom. Paul said, I'm homeless, oh. He promised them an everlasting kingdom that shall never fail. He promised them peace on the inside and contentment. That's the final point. Contentment. Let's go back into the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse number 7 through 9. I'm going to have to be quick here. And I appreciate your patience, your understanding of the message, and of my foreign accent. I thought as to when I would come here that everybody would just, you know, speak English, all of us could understand each other. After I moved over in the Shomaloo, that's another kind of English over there. And they couldn't understand me. But you Yaba people are educated about it. I know you got me. So Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 7 through 9. Two things have I required of thee, my God. Deny me them not before I die. And here's what they are. After talking about the word of God being pure, is remove far from me vanity and lies. I don't want to be deceived by any false prophet. I want to understand the Son of God in Scripture. And here is the second thing. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is convenient for me. Have you ever seen that prayer in the Bible? Did you know that that's what this thing is all about? Lord God, keep my heart fine-tuned to Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in this world, I don't want to be too rich and take my eye off you. I don't want to marry her and take my heart from you. I don't want what men call a blessing. If it intrudes in here, keep it away from me. And don't let me be too poor that I forget at your mercy that you are my provider and that I love you. Let me have enough of Jesus Christ. You control the world to give me Christ, and control my life just to give me Christ. That's what this thing is about. I've got two more scriptures and I'm done. And I know I'm on the clock. I'm going to try to be quick. It's in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse number 2. Here's what it's all about. If you ever want to have your heart thrilled, that book, the Song of Solomon, has been used by God to thrill me many a times, and to correct me, and to challenge me, and to be a barometer of my soul, and to really tell me if my heart is in the right place or not. Am I in the right spiritual condition? Here is the only right spiritual condition. If I either have Him and I'm enjoying, or I'm pursuing Him so I can have Him back. That's the only healthy soul in Christ Jesus. Let Him, my beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Let Him show His affection unto me through the gospel, through prayers of the saints like King David, through the petitions that are in the Psalms, through the preaching of the Acts of the Apostles, through the epistles, through the wisdom literature, through Deuteronomy, all the history of the Old Testament. Let Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, leap up out of the pages of this book into my heart, my faith, and divine revelation. For Thy love, Your intimate fellowship, being with You in the Spirit, is better than anything on earth. Is that not true, my sister? It is the sweetest, most enjoyable, most intoxicating. It will indoctrinate you into the love of God and make you love Him back. It is the greatest thing in the world. It's the experience that makes a man actually float down like Peter and walk on water. We cannot walk on water, but Peter did, to show us that when our eyes are on Christ and He's in our heart by faith, we can endure every trial unto the glory of God without complaining. Before I came to Africa, I was studying the apostles, particularly Paul. And do you realize that after Pentecost, they never complained about anything? In prison, being beaten, shipwrecked, hungry, thirsty, cast out, chased, fixing to die. And old Paul said, I'm here to encourage you. All's well with me. Timothy, just bring my coat. But the Lord has stood with me. I don't even have a coat in jail. I'm on a cold floor, but I'm not complaining. Bring my coat. But He pulled me out of the lion's mouth. Contentment, joy, peace, love, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's real. That's the unfailing word. Huh? In my last text, 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is true now. Verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 8. I'm almost done. I Now, in the King James, it's kind of put as a question, but if you read almost every other translation, and particularly if you get on your computer and you go to Bible Hub and you look it up in the Greek, it'll be easily translated as an affirmative statement, which means this: having food and raiment, we will be content. In the King James, it's the let us. It's almost like it's a command. But you can look it up, as I've done. It's a blanket statement. It's saying this, my dear sister: if I have enough to eat and something to cover my body, even if it's rice and a shed. People ask me, how can you leave California and come to Nigeria? And I've been in places that had no concrete floor to sleep on. How do you do that? If I got something to eat, and I do love a good mosquito net, as long as I got Jesus Christ, I'm floating the water. That's my request. Next week I'll be going up north to Kaduna, all that region. You know, people think that pastors have to be spoiled rotten like babies. I like a bed and a mosquito net and the opportunity to preach. That's it. People told me, in America, you don't know as to how hard it is. I'm aware that I don't have it as hard here as many, many people. But I've been here. I'm for 18 months. And I know that verse is true. If your body has been covered up with bites, if you're sick with malaria, as long as I got Christ in my heart by faith, I'm at peace. I'm happy. I'm suffering for His name's sake. I'm privileged never to complain at my God. May it never come out of my mouth again, not one time. And you can do that too. It's because Paul did it. So did Peter. It's the power of the Spirit of Christ in your heart by faith. And my brothers and my sisters, that's the unfailing word. It testifies of the Word who is Jesus Christ. It is the written Word of the Bible that's always sure and faithful. And it produces peace and contentment without fail. Can we do that here in Nigeria? Oh, can we be at peace, Lord? We love money, and I say we because most of the slaves came from Nigeria, but a Nigerian, he loves money more than anybody I've seen on earth. I've been to many countries, Lord. But to see a content Nigerian, whether he has a beautiful family or he has nothing, has money in the bank or not, has school fees or not, he has God's blessing in the spiritual world, in a kingdom that's not of this world, that no man can take. That's the peace and the confidence I want you to have in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
God, the Lord bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Please let me introduce you to the song one time. Around the place. Thank you, sir, for that wonderful session of the world.
Thank you, sir.
That was the artist's message. Theoretically,